The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
As we look at Christmas this year, there's one phrase and there's one scripture that came to my mind that isn't a typical Christmas phrase. Now, if you've been around here a long time and you know anything about me, I'm not a very good typical. There's certain scriptures you're supposed to preach on at certain times, and I'm terrible at that. I remember my first Mother's Day message was talking about when there's poop in the stall. That was a Mother's Day message. Don't ask me why. It's just what happens. And this one is not a typical, necessarily, Christmas passage. It's found in Galatians chapter 4. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says this: "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law." Now, that passage really is talking about who Jesus was and how Jesus was able to free us from the law because of all that he went through and the salvation that comes to him. But there's one part of that passage and there's one part of that scripture that stuck with me as I was reading through it and as I was getting ready for a Christmas season. When the right time came. That phrase just captured me. Because when I look at it and I think about that, I'm like, okay, well, if that's the case, then that means that God had all this orchestrated, all this planned, and that Jesus was born at just the right time. That's pretty cool to think about. And it led me to think that God's timing is perfect. Christ came at the exact right time. Now, that's a cool thing to think about. Christ came at the exact right time. And because of that, I want to share with you this morning, whatever may be going on in your life, whatever you may be going through, God's timing is perfect. Now, here's the problem with that. It's a great thing to say, that's wonderful, but it's hard to believe that sometimes. But Christ came at the exact right time. Also, look at this. Matthew chapter 1, verse 17, as we start to work through the birth story of Jesus. "Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah." Now, just so that we gather something from this real fast. Christ came at the exact right time. God's timing is perfect. Do y'all realize that God's timing is generational? I'll say me. When I pray, my prayer life goes like this. Dear God, I need this. Dear God, help me with this. I need some wisdom. I need some guidance. I need some understanding. Amen. And then I look for the answer that I prayed for, right? It's got to be right there because I just prayed for it. So God, I don't know if that was part of my prayer. I prayed for this. I need it now. Do y'all realize how many generations people looked for God's promise? God's timing in your life may be generational. You may say, well, I'm the first Christian in my family for years. You know what that means? You start the generation. Promise. It means that you and I live lives of faith for generations to see. Not promises that you may see right now. Will your grandkids, your kids, your grandkids, grandkids, grandkids know about your faith and how faithful you were to who God said he was based on a legacy of faith that you lived before them? Christ came at the exact right time, and for us, our challenge, our goal, our objective should be to live lives that exemplify and trust in God's right timing. Again, that's a wonderful thing to say, but it's also really hard to believe sometimes, isn't it? How many of you have a hard time believing God's timing is perfect? Just as we read through the birth story, I think that Mary and Joseph and some of the other folks as part of the birth story of Jesus had the exact same problems. If you go on and you read in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it talks about how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Y'all notice they were pledged to be married and she comes home pregnant? Now, let me remind you, God's timing is perfect. But if I'm Joseph, hey man, let's get married and then we can do this, right? If I'm married, can you imagine being married? I don't know, maybe she didn't have like dream, I said yes to the dress type weddings that we have here today in our culture, but like, I would still think that that's not how she planned on being standing there at the altar saying yes to Joseph as pregnant. God's timing is perfect, but at the time, at that moment, in that situation, I can't help but think that, hey God, listen, could have done this any other time. Why did you have to do it in the middle of our wedding? Not just that, when you keep on reading it in the birth story of Matthew, it tells us this. It tells us that Joseph and Mary did not consummate their marriage until after Jesus was born. Not to be crass, not to be rude. Can you imagine being a guy on your honeymoon night and saying, nope, gonna have to stop this. Not, if you don't understand what that means, hey, parents, you guys can talk about your kids later on. I mean, if I'm Joseph, I'm sitting there, I'm like, God, why now? I'm getting married. This is supposed to be a celebration and a joyous time, and I'm worried about a pregnant wife. It's not even mine because it's yours. But God's timing is perfect. He keeps going, and just some other things that kind of really are hard to question. Maybe there's something going on in your life. There's a circumstance or a situation. And if God would have just done it at a different time, it would have made you life so much easier. Let me remind you this morning, God's timing is perfect. You go on in the birth story, and it says this in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he was belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was also pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Now, I've made some foolish decisions in my life. Three foolish decisions I've made in my life were making my pregnant wife travel with me to different places. The first time I made her travel with me, she was 5 months pregnant with Nora, and we were in Y, Arizona, doing mission work in 120-degree weather. Why? I don't know, but that's why we were in Y. Not a smart time to do that. Second time I made her travel with me is somehow we booked a vacation to Las Vegas. Because Hilton said they would give us a great time, and it was not a great time. But we go to Vegas and thinking we're going to go to the Grand Canyon and see all these different things like that. Except she's seven, eight months pregnant, and the only reason she got to go is because her doctor made himself go with us so that she could go on a trip. If that wasn't foolish enough, we get back, and on January 1st, Abby's born on January 31st, on January 1st, we're in a subway in Atlanta because we missed the train with like 15 college students that were at a passions conference, and we missed the wrong thing, and so we're at the end of the subway line, stuck in the middle of Atlanta because we missed the wrong subway line. And here my wife is, 9 months pregnant. Not a smart person when it comes to traveling with my wife. Can you imagine Joseph and Mary, though? God, of all the times we've got to take a census, why right now? It's not safe. It's not smart for us to be traveling right now. God, our doctor said this is not... She's in the no-fly zone. This is when we're not supposed to be traveling. And you want me to go and travel now? Listen, there may be something that goes on in your life, and all of a sudden God's plans come in and things come outside of you. It's not even circumstances or situations that you've brought about, but it's just life around you. And you find yourself moving, or you find yourself in transition, and you're asking God, why right now? God's timing's perfect. You keep going in the birth story of Jesus, and as you keep going, in Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says this, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest rooms available for them. Man. No room in any house for them. Y'all ever get in the middle of something and you feel like this is what God's telling you to do, and you feel like you're doing what you're supposed to do, and you feel like you're supposed to do, and then all of a sudden it's just brick wall after brick wall after brick wall. Yeah, God, can I just catch one break? It's interesting. Mary and Joseph are sitting here, done all the stuff with the marriage they were supposed to do. They go on the trip like they're supposed to go on. The whole time they're trusting God. And I can't imagine them just getting to that first place and being like, hey, listen, can we get a room? Oh, no. Here's a census. See, we're sold out. Everywhere's sold out. And if Joseph is like me, which I think he probably might have, he probably walked up to the donkey real quick to feed the donkey. And he had this conversation with God. God, can I catch a break? Man, I'm doing all this. I'm doing what you're telling me to do. I'm doing what you're asking me to do. And I can't even get a dadgum room. Can I just catch a break? Maybe in your life, that's where you're at. And this Christmas season is tough. And as things get difficult, you're asking God, can I just get a break? I want to remind you that God's timing is perfect. You keep reading, and in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, it says this: there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock by night. Where are my late night folks at? A couple of y'all? All right. Why the middle of the night? God, listen, you want to announce your birth? You want to announce the birth of the Messiah? Let's go in the middle of the day. You'd have a lot more people. The lunch crowd's a lot better than the midnight crowd, I'm thinking. Of all the time, and here's the other thing that's crazy about this. Shepherds probably wouldn't have been in the field with just any regular sheep at night. But because these were sheep that were by Bethlehem, and Bethlehem was known for giving them, they were the ones who were responsible for raising sacrificial sheep that were sacrificed at the temple. These shepherds had to take extra special care that no blemish, no spot, no defect was in these sheep. And so these shepherds were one of the few shepherds who had to actually stay in the field with the sheep at night. Other ones would just kind of like corral them in an area and set up tents around them and let the sheep kind of like mingle. But these guys had to be in there with them. And in the middle of the night, of all the times, the birth announcement comes to them. Listen, you ever get to that point where you're tired? After herding stinky sheep or stinky kids all day long? And you're just tired and you're like, God, hey, listen, if I can just get like 10 minutes, if I can just get a little bit of rest, I'll be good. And all of a sudden, this opportunity, something comes, and God opens it up and sets it right in front of you. And you're like, God, but now's not really the best time. I'm tired. Can you imagine being those shepherds, and all of a sudden the angel comes, and you look over at your buddy Bob, and you're like, hey, Bob, let's go see this. And Bob's like, nah, I'm tired. It's the middle of the night. We got to get up early and take care of some sheep. Can I remind you that God's timing is perfect? You see, when you go back, the reason Mary became pregnant when she was pledged to be married to Joseph was because it was promised in Isaiah that a virgin would give birth. In Matthew's gospel, in chapter 1, verses 22 through 23, it says, look, this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. See, God's timing is perfect because a virgin had to give birth. If God would have waited a month longer and let Joseph and Mary get married on their own and then conceive, Scripture wouldn't have been fulfilled. But God's timing was perfect. And God, in His infinite wisdom, in His perfect timing, knew exactly when this was supposed to take place. You keep going, and it wasn't just the virgin birth that had to take place. But Jesus had to be from Nazareth, he had to be born in Bethlehem, and he had to be out of Egypt. Matthew chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, chapter 2, verse 23, the specific requirements of who Jesus was and how he was promised to come about had to take place. So what had to happen for all that to happen? Joseph and Mary had to travel when she was pregnant. Why? Because God's timing was perfect. God knew exactly what was going to happen, and since he knew exactly what was going to happen, he had them do everything this way so that she would give birth in Bethlehem and scripture would be fulfilled. Because God's timing was perfect. Why was he born in a manger? He was born in a manger to proclaim who he was. Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 says this, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." In John's gospel, when John sees Jesus coming to be baptized, he says this about Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Why was Jesus born in the stable? He was born in the stable because he was a lamb that was meant to be born for the sacrifice of our sins. God's timing was perfect. And so there had to be no room. And so when Joseph was frustrated, and when he couldn't figure out why they couldn't even get a hotel room for his wife to give birth in, God's timing was perfect because Jesus was born exactly where he was supposed to be born. And as he proclaimed who he was, lastly, people who could not come to God, God brought his presence to them. Matthew's, "A virgin will conceive, she'll give birth to a son. He'll call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. In Luke's account, the angels appeared before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared, and the angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." Why shepherds in the middle of the night? You know the unfortunate part about a shepherd? Especially these guys. Here, this was their job. They were supposed to raise sheep for somebody to come in, buy their sheep, take them to the temple and sacrifice. You know where these shepherds couldn't go? To the temple. See, they were considered unclean. They couldn't go through the ceremonial ritual cleansings that were required by the Jewish law. Being a shepherd, sometimes you had to touch dead things. Made you ceremonially unclean. Being a shepherd meant that sometimes you had to clean sheep. Made you ceremonially unclean. The people who were outside of having any availability to come into God's presence, God says, "Hey, listen, I'm going to pay my presence to you." Why in the middle of the night to shepherds? Because God's timing was perfect. And people who had no clue, no chance, no opportunity at all to ever come into the presence of God were made to be in God's holy presence. Let me ask you a question. When this happened, were they clean? No. Not because of what they did, but God's presence made them clean. Made them be able to stand in his presence and not be afraid, not be terrified, because it was God's right timing. Listen, I know Christmas is a chaotic season. It's nuts. And Mandy, I'm so glad you're trying to. I'm failing miserably at trying to enjoy all the small moments. This Christmas, though, whatever your life may have, listen, maybe it's chaos. Maybe it's transition. Maybe it's circumstances. And you're like, "God, of all times, why right now?" I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you that God's timing is perfect. Instead of wondering why now, this Christmas, this is my challenge to me, and if you want to take it, cool. Instead of asking God why now, why like this, why this, God, I'm going to say, "All right, God, I trust you. Your timing's perfect. God, I don't understand this, this is not how I would have my Christmas go. This is not the way I would do things. But I'm going to trust you. This Christmas, will you allow yourself, look, we've just looked through Scripture real quickly, real briefly this morning, but in that time and time again, we've proven that God's timing, God's circumstances, God's hand is on things and it is perfect. This morning, will you accept the challenge that this Christmas, when things don't go right, when it's not your way, when everything is chaos, you're going to use it as a proclamation to say, God, I trust you. In this instance, I trust you. Man, if you all will do that, you know what's going to happen in January 1st, 2026? I never thought I'd see 2026. I thought we'd be flying the cars, at least if I did. God is going to increase the faith of His church so much that when challenges, when things come in 2026, and we're going to say, God, I don't understand this, but listen, I learned during Christmas, your timing, your plan, the way you do things is perfect. And so in 2026, when stuff doesn't go my way, I trust you. Because you've instilled it in your life now, when we've been reminded time and time again, through mangers and shepherds and angels in a field at night, God, your timing and your plan is perfect. And therefore, I trust you. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I pray as we go into this Christmas season, God, that our declaration would be, God, we trust you. Father, when the ham burns, and the family's late, and the presents aren't wrapped, and the tree's not decorated, when the bank account's too small, God, when the doctor's visit goes bad, when the phone call doesn't have the news we want it to have, God, that you would instill in us a trust in you, that your timing, your plans, and your ways are perfect, and that, God, we would learn and our faith in you would be strengthened this Christmas season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.